Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. I'm really excited today. I get to interview two of my new favorite friends on the island who are young entrepreneurs, and they're creating a business that I think is vital to the life of the island. So I'm really happy to introduce you to my friends, Selena Legrano and Keaton Freeman. They bring a great background to a business that I really feel is vital on our island, and that is the business of growing starts. I don't know what it is about Vashon, but there's something about being here, drinking the water, breathing the air, that turns people into gardeners. You get here and you want to grow. And I tell you, I speak from experience because I had absolutely zero interest in growing anything until I hit Vashon. And then I couldn't stop. I became this rabid gardener, and I was trying to grow everything I could, and I created a garden that was way too big. And I tried to grow my own starts. Because as you know, we have a limited growing season on the island, and the trick to growing stuff isn't necessarily to put your seeds in February. Even though you look at our beautiful January skies and you think, oh, I can plant my peas next month or next week, until you've been around for a bit and you go, not a good idea, because the end of February could wipe everything out. So a lot of us have learned that one of the ways around that is to grow starts. However, that is harder than it seems. So that's a piece of what we're going to talk about. Why this business that you are continuing on the island, because for many years, Michelle Crawford at Pacific Potager did that work for us. And then when she closed, we were wandering around thinking, oh no, oh no. But you are continuing that legacy of growing starts. And I think that's a fabulous contribution. So first of all, thank you so much for taking time away from your endeavors to come in today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I have to note that it is a brilliantly blue sky day, which for somebody who works in agriculture is a day that says, get out there and do something. Yeah. And so to have given me a little bit of time here is a special gift and all. I want to start just talking a little bit about your backgrounds, because you have fascinating backgrounds. You do a lot outside of running a starts business. One is you have a small son who is absolutely delightful. And how old is your son, Cash?
Cash is a little over two years old now.
And that could be a job in and of itself.
It is a full-time job for sure. Yes.
Yeah. And then Keaton, you work in carpentry, woodworking, mm-hmm. building things.
Yes. That's pretty much my entire life.
Yeah. And so. I understand you're a very skilled master carpenter.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that's what she says.
Yeah, that's what she says.
You are.
I like to be humble about it. But I went to school for. I grew up in it, and then I went to college for furniture and jewelry design.
Really?
Yeah, and I continued that after college, working at furniture shops, and then I transitioned back into more of the construction field.
So you were trained in the art and the craft.
Yeah.
Of carpentry and making things with wood and all.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Even though you're in construction, a lot of people go into it without that kind of background. So they learn on the job, but you have this whole other formation.
Yeah. And I grew up, my dad is a civil engineer and was always remodeling our homes. And so it was an easy transition to go back into construction. So,
oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
I'm jealous because I think once you have it in your blood, you know, if you just get things, mm-hmm. I think my husband gets things that I will never get.
Yes. Yeah.
And at this stage in life, I'm not even going to try. So I have so much respect for somebody who does know how to build. And Selena, you have an incredibly rich horticultural background. You want to give us a little overview of what you've done?
Yeah. So I My grandma actually was, they had a farm. So I grew up kind of on a cow farm and a hay farm as a little kid. So
where was that?
Over in Eatonville.
Okay.
So we would go out there every summer for hay season. But then after that, as I kind of got into school, I always loved eating and cooking my own food. And so that kind of turned into agriculture for me to grow my own stuff in pots and in college. And then that turned into then getting a background in like wildlife conservation, but focusing more on the plant side of it. And then getting a minor in organic agriculture and horticulture. And then that has continued to where I then moved into food systems work and started working more in the food systems realm. And also within that, being able to kind of grow starts. And that's kind of where a lot of that came from, was that turning into being able to shape people's lives by having a way for them to be able to grow their own food.
Wow. And I know you worked with Seattle Tilth, which
yes.
is sort of the preeminent growing hub in Seattle that supports gardeners in so many ways.
Yeah, I worked for Tilth Alliance for just over 5 years. And that was probably where I had the most experience with growing starts, was there. I ran a program there for a while that specifically was growing starts for immigrants, refugees, and different kind of low income communities that we gave the starts away to.
Wow. What great work. And then you've gone on to other kinds of jobs, working with King County, is it? Or?
Yeah, I worked for Department of Ecology for a year, and then I work currently with Seattle Public Utilities in their natural yard care, organics, and waste prevention field.
Wow. So that's great, because it gives you a day job, which is always great when you're starting a business. Day jobs are really important.
Day jobs are very important right now. Keeps us busy,
keeps you busy
with everything.
But it's also linked. It's not like it's totally separate from the whole world of horticulture and growing things. And
yeah, they're all very connected. And I think that's kind of where my world kind of, I always have to have a little hand in that somehow. Because it is a passion, but we still have to be able to support ourselves while we're doing all the starts too.
Right.
And definitely could not do it without Keaton and all of his infrastructure building that he has.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, now tell me how the segue, you know, I knew Michelle, or mm-hmm. she's still on the island, I think.
Yes.
I would shout out to Michelle Crawford, because yeah. she sort of was the patron saint of growing for a long time.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
beautiful starts and a beautiful family and showing up at the market and stuff. And so when she started to retire, we were all gulping. And I heard rumor before I even met you, I heard rumor about your business, which is called
Peak Moon Nursery.
Peak Moon Nursery. So you knew about starts, but what called you to do it here on Vashon? You were living here, right?
Well,
or were you?
No. Actually, yeah. Keaton can probably tell our little story of Seattle.
Oh my gosh.
Well, so I was all in it, being in the furniture world and construction world was fun. But I was always eager to learn more, you know, and I've been doing it for 20 years and there's more out there, you know. And I wasn't necessarily looking for a career change, but I was very open to it. And seeing Selena, what she was doing, and I also love growing things. I wasn't necessarily as much of a gardener as she was growing up, but I definitely gardened, and we had a garden growing up. But also being a cook, a home cook, being way into food, it's really satisfying to grow your own veggies. And we had a garden in Wallingford, that our place in Wallingford, and then this was right when COVID happened. And on top of that, she was working at Tilth. Mm-hmm. And so the Tilth plant sale that they have every year, when is it?
It's first weekend of May,
yeah.
Right around Mother's Day.
And I was blown away. You know, we go to nurseries throughout Seattle and you see starts, but nothing on the scale and the variety that they had and the community that it brought. The streets would just get, it was almost like it was a festival that was happening. And I thought it was just so neat. And I also saw how how far people would go to drive to this, and how excited they were. And so I was like, wow, this is really neat. And then Selena, during COVID, we decided to open up our own little plant stand in our driveway.
In Wallingford.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So that's how it started.
And we don't really know how to do things on a small scale. So even though that was our first year doing it, but we're also stuck at home. And so we just went crazy and we grew a ton of stuff.
Yeah. In our basement.
Yeah.
And then we would bring stuff out from the basement up to the sun every day and then put them back down in the winter time, mm-hmm. like at night to like harden everything off.
And then from there, you know, did a little bit of, you know, punch some numbers and actually looked at it as a business standpoint. And we're like, oh, we can actually make some money mm-hmm. doing this and support ourselves. And I don't need to be in a shop all the time. I can be outside.
This is Sally Jean Fox of Embracing the Muse, and I'm speaking today with Selena Ligrano and Keaton Freeman of Peak Moon Nursery.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
But that was all pre-Vashon.
That was pre-Vashon. And so Michelle announced that she was retiring, and
We actually heard from a friend that she was retiring before we knew she was. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I think we have to figure out if this is going to be like our dream, like actually come true, being able to expand this business.
What timeliness.
I mean, it was just one of those things where it wasn't necessarily the time we were expecting to move to Seattle or from Seattle to Vashon or to start this full business, knowing we both had full-time jobs and a new baby, because at the time Cash was only a year old.
It did line up with a couple of things, though.
It did. It lined up to it with a couple of things.
Because our landlord was selling the house, and it was that classic, can I get torn down? And then kind of a three-unit building.
Yeah, welcome to rentals in Seattle as
right.
well.
Yeah.
And but we were looking for a change of pace. Selena's dad needs a lot of care.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all, everything was kind of just
coming together.
And side note for our listeners, because if I understand, you grew up in North Carolina, is that right, Keaton?
Correct, yeah.
But Selena, you spent a lot of time on the island, didn't you?
Born and raised here. There's pictures of my mom pregnant with me with other people like on Vashon. So I've known people on Vashon since before I was even born.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to one of my neighbors and he said, oh, Selena. Yes, she went to school with my daughter, you know, which is great. It's actually great. Although I think it's sometimes, you know, if you've never gotten away, then it could also be a little bit small, but you had gotten away.
Yeah. And I mean, that was kind of, I always knew I wanted to come back. I always thought it was a great place to raise a family, but I also wanted to explore and see what else was out there. And so as Keaton mentioned, everything kind of lined up to be like the time to do it. And so we're like, all right, we're going to do this. And so I reached out to Michelle and I just wrote her an email and I said, my name's Selena. I've been buying starts from you and my family's been buying starts from you for years. I heard you're retiring, and I gave her kind of my background, our history. And I was like, would you be willing to rent your greenhouse from us? And she actually said no at first.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it would seem like, what perfection. How many people would ever, with your kind of background, reach out at just that moment?
Well, and she said no just because she wanted a break and for good reason. But she also was really wanted to talk to us. She was very curious about what we had, what we wanted to do. And then a few months later, she reached out independently and was like, I've been thinking about this, and I really think you two are the ones that can do what the island needs. And she has been an amazing mentor and just support. We couldn't have done this without her. She's amazing. And it's been great being able to rent from her.
That's fabulous. You know, I can imagine, because she really does that in her front yard, that she might want to have her front yard back and not have the car traffic stopping off the highway.
Of course.
To see her. But it's also so precious, because a lot of times when you're starting a business, you don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
And to have somebody who is a seasoned coach who can help you along the way, I mean, how amazing is that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think part of it is like, I know how to grow a lot of different plants. That's been my job for work and just personal life. Mm-hmm. But she honed what she knew the community needed and wanted. And so we began with that and then kind of added our own touch onto that, because we are passionate about the different types we're growing, but we also understand there's very specific plants that people are always looking for. So it's a balance of kind of the more common, usual things versus kind of what we like to add our little touches of the more unique specialty things, because as Keaton mentioned, we like to cook, we like to eat, and we like to taste different cuisines and cultures. And it's a way that kind of brings everybody together trying these different types of foods.
Now, let me guess. People want peas.
Yes.
And there's some tomatoes that fruit earlier.
Yes.
So those are probably popular. And then you have your lettuces and some of your more typical plants that are staples. Am I close?
Yeah. But I would say, how many varieties are we growing this year, Keaton?
Oh, all together?
Yeah. Do you remember?
300.
Almost 300 different varieties.
Yeah, 300 different
of starts.
Of starts.
And how many tomatoes?
Last year was 52.
Oh my gosh.
And we'll be doing around that again.
Oh my gosh.
That's one of our little taglines. We do over 50 different varieties of tomatoes specifically. So we had over 20 different varieties of peppers. And
I would like to say, because this is very important, because some tomatoes don't do as well in our climate, but we were able to grow all 52 varieties.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Successfully.
Without a greenhouse.
So, yeah.
You grew them in Seattle or here?
Here.
Yeah.
Without Michelle's greenhouse?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just in our front yard.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So even the really big ones that people say you can't do without a greenhouse or in our season, we got tomatoes that were almost as big as our son's head.
Oh my gosh. You have the touch.
So it is possible. and we are always willing to answer questions and help people, because we want people to be successful. We're not going to sell something too early just because people want it if it's not the right time to plant it in the ground.
Yeah. You want them to succeed. Well, the thing that I've come to love is the idea that a regular person cannot grow 52 varieties of tomatoes, and you buy those wonderful packets from a Territorial Seed or somewhere else, and you realize I've got all these seeds. I need two plants,
right? That is another thing. Yeah.
And so by coming and buying from you, people can really have the richness of variety without having to, grow too much in order to have a few things of what they want. Because that was my big sin, like all naive new growers. It was like, no, you don't need 7 summer squash plants, for 2 people. There are things that you learn over time, and then growing starts makes so much sense, because you go, I'm only going to grow 2 or 3. Let me go get the ones and know that they're going to work.
Yeah.
Cucumbers, that's my problem.
Yes, we have a lot. We had, I don't know, even way too many
cucumbers. So I
have trouble growing cucumbers from seeds.
Oh.
Is that, because I've seen people say you should grow them from seeds, just, in the ground. Mm-hmm. Mine, I don't know whether it's something about being on the top of Maury or a short season or something. I've had trouble with cucumbers, so I'm coming to you. But why would that be? Are cucumbers...
Well, cucumbers, they can be. The squash family, which is the cucumbers are in, they don't like their roots to be disturbed. So when you plant them, you need to be careful when you're planting them as a transplant, which is why a lot of times some people will just do direct seed. But they also don't like cold weather.
Yes.
And also slugs and other animals like to eat the little tops before. So you probably wouldn't even know that you had one that came up, because they'll get eaten. So it's that balance of trying to get them big enough so that a slug or another animal won't eat them, but then not disturbing those roots too much when you're planting them. So there is a balance between it.
Sweet. Well, tell me about the hardest thing in growing starts, because in my own experience, I was so gung-ho. I wanted to try everything. So I was growing a lot of starts, but it was so frustrating because all it took was missing one watering.
Yeah.
Or having the lights go off at the wrong time. And a month of work would be gone, overnight.
Yeah.
So what's the trick? What's the hardest part of it?
I think you said it is watering. keeping up with the routine, because all it takes is one sunny day, and they can just get fried. So it's just maintaining that. And I would say, how about you? What do you think?
Because we have like an entire greenhouse of starts, so making sure you're being very consistent in that watering is really important. But also, we get so excited with these sunny days, and sometimes we forget how warm something in a greenhouse will get. Uh-huh. So even when it's 40 degrees outside, it can be 80, 85 in the greenhouse.
Yeah.
And not everybody has that problem, but that's something we have to keep an eye out for. And then the cold temperatures at night if you're not ready for them.
The other thing, too, is really learning when the best time is to start things.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because we, you know, granted, this is only our second year, but we have been doing it for a while mm-hmm. for ourselves. But we want our product to look, we want it to be beautiful for everybody. We want people to walk up and be like, oh, this looks great. I need to buy this. Or this is it. And this variety I've never heard of. This is awesome. Where, like our basils and our cucumbers, actually, we've now are learning the hard way of when to start those at an appropriate time.
When do you start them?
So last year we did it. We had really great stuff. It looked really good, but it was too early for it to go outside. So then they were getting too big for their pots. And mm-hmm. so there's that balance. So we'll start around April, end of March, early April for those to be able to go out by like the beginning of May. So they only really need, because it starts to get warmer, they grow much faster. Whereas this last year we started them in the basil we started in like, I think February, because I know that they are slow to get started, but that's because it's so cold that early. And so that's the balance of, you don't want to start stuff too early, but you also, there are some things that just do take a long time to grow. Eggplants take forever to get to a decent size. Even once that sun comes up later in the season, they still need that extra time. So there's just some stuff that just has to get started early to give them that extra time. And we are at the whim of Mother Nature mm-hmm. because we don't have lights on our stuff.
Oh, you don't?
No lights.
It's all greenhouse. You're in Michelle's mm-hmm. greenhouse mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
No lights, no heat.
Yeah.
Oh,
so we use just heat to start the seed. And then as soon as they've sprouted, they go in the greenhouse. And then we are at the whim of Mother Nature. So if we get cloudy days for months, the stuff is not going to grow as well. So we love the sun now. We just hope it keeps it keeps up, because sometimes we can have some really cloudy days, and that will impact how fast things grow.
Yeah, and I don't know whether it's climate change or just it's always been crazy, but mm-hmm. we get so lured into believing that the season is going one way or another,
yes.
and then everything flips and you think, oh, we're finally in growing time, and then you hit a cold wave or you have crazy heat when you never expect crazy heat. So I didn't know you were going to, I didn't know you were doing it without lights.
Yeah. Generally, I mean, I can't say for everybody, but generally you're only going to get lights with really, really big operations, because it is very costly to have that. And we do get enough sun in the amount of time and for things to get out that most smaller nurseries don't, or people don't have to use.
Yeah,
lights.
And I also think that there's something nice about thinking that you've actually worked with the climate on Vashon.
Yeah.
That you're not creating a sort of false climate in order to be able to mm-hmm. grow your things. They've been Vashon tested.
Yes, they have.
They have.
Well, tell me what it's like. I mean, I think this is a terrific business, and I want to thank you, because a lot of growers depended on Michelle.
Yeah.
And there was a time when I think Leda Langley also sold privately
mm-hmm.
and that was no longer so. It's a really a great thing for the island. You're going to be selling at Michelle's on the highway still?
We don't sell at Michelle's.
Where do you sell then?
Yeah, so Michelle's is just where we grow the starts.
Okay.
Because we honor her wanting to retire and have her space back.
Excellent.
So last year Keaton built our stand for us.
Good.
So it's just a half a mile south on the right-hand side of the road. So on the west side of the
road. Three quarters of a mile before the Telequa Ferry.
On the west side of the road. That's opposite from Michelle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. And you'll have signs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's where you'll be selling this year as well?
Yep.
I say you should come to Maury.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We're hoping to have a little tiny side stand from our house.
I think that's next year.
Yeah.
Well, I want to commission some stuff because I know that was always the thing whenever I'd go to the Tahlequah. I would have to stop at Michelle's because it's kind of a little bit far away for people living at the very north.
We do sell at the farmer's market.
Okay.
So pretty much the first one, very beginning of May through about middle of June, we will be there for sure.
So tell me how it works with your life, because it would seem like a growing business is like on your market set go. It's a business that is what, 4 months or 5 months? What's the life cycle there?
I'd say five.
That's five. Yeah. Months.
Yeah. I mean, it's starting now.
Yeah.
So, and then come the end of June. We'll pretty much
stop around then. I start looking at seed catalogs in November, start ordering seeds in December.
That's the really fun part.
The
dreaming.
This is when we get a little carried away. And then by the time we've planted everything, we realize that we got a little carried away. But we get so excited about it to share these new varieties that come out. And I mean, there's thousands of varieties of tomatoes. It's almost impossible to choose just 50 varieties of tomatoes.
Right.
So there's a lot of planning in looking at the quantities and what varieties, the ones that worked last year, the ones that we want to continue or maybe we aren't going to do anymore and try a new variety. It's pretty much seeding has started and will continue for the next 3 months and then transplants and then ready, set, go. So.
Right. And how do you do that with a 2-year-old and two jobs? Because you're both working jobs. You know,
it's a balance.
It's a balance.
This year I am going to be working more on the business.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was just too much. But I'm really excited about it though. So,
The business meaning
Peak Moon Nursery. Peak Moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Cause we really do want to grow it. And this year we don't have the infrastructure really, which is nice. Cause I don't have to build the plant stand.
Right.
I can really focus on the growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one step at a time, you're mastering the business, and then you can build your own greenhouse and get your plant stand going.
And one thing I want to add is we're going to have a nifty new sign out.
Yeah.
Which we have a very Vashon hand-painted sign, which works great.
Yeah.
But we worked with my brother and my old coworker. We'll have a nice sign out.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Which I'm very excited about.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to think, did I not make enough trips down to Tahlequah to see the stand before?
Yeah.
Or did I just pass by? I don't remember.
Well, and it's a little hard because it does come up quick on between a couple of corners there. But there is a sign. It's nice because you can't actually see it from the road. You can see the sign from the road, but the actual stand, you have to kind of go up into the woods. So it's a very tranquil, serene little plant spot.
I remodeled a bathroom for a couple this summer that had bought starts from us, and I was explaining our business. He's like, "Oh, I've been there. It's such a little oasis in the woods. It's amazing." And I was like, "Oh yeah,
yeah." You can hear the birds chirping.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
While you're shopping for plants.
Well, does that mean you have to be out there all the time, or how does that work?
We do the honor system like pretty much every other farmer on the island. And we trust our community, and they have been just great in supporting us. And so that's how we have it. There's a box there for you to be able to put your money in. And we're up there often because we're restocking or watering or something. So it's not like we're never there.
Right.
But we're not there to take money from people. So.
And do you do Venmo as well?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think Venmo is a great innovation for local growers. Because
big time.
To get away from cash, not make it quite as attractive too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's just easier too, because it's harder. I mean, I remember even when COVID first started, a lot of people weren't taking cash because there was concerns about if it was safe or not. And so that a lot of businesses switched over, which we know is not truly the case anymore. But a lot of people have shifted to that. It just gives people more options.
Yeah, I think it's useful. And it always breaks my heart when I hear that somebody's stand has been broken into.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, we're Vashon. Yeah. We're neighbors. We're community and all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you guys active in the Vashon Island Growers Association, VIGA? And
yeah. Yeah. They have been a huge support also. And it's just been a whirlwind of a year for us and everybody. But yeah, we love being a part of VIGA and the farmers markets, like I mentioned. So we also take VIGA bucks at our stand.
Oh, great.
So people can shop with that.
Yeah.
At our stand too.
Did an interview with VIGA when they were fundraising.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that they fundraise for the VIGA bucks,
mm-hmm.
and which is a wonderful way to contribute to the island, to make a donation and then know that somebody is going to get really healthy food as a result of those VIGA dollars.
I mean, I think it's really important that they allow not only just the food that's already been produced, like the actual tomato at the end, but also being able to use the VIGA bucks to buy starts so that people can also have their own gardens to grow too.
Right.
Because I think that's really important in just empowering people to take their own food into their own hands.
I'm speaking today with Selena Ligrano and Keaton Freeman of Peak Moon Nursery. Do you ever spend any time late at night going, oh my God, what are we doing?
Every night.
All the time. Yeah.
Every night. Yeah. We're like, what are we doing?
Well, I salute that because that says to me that you are real entrepreneurs, that you're not, because if you didn't have a little bit of those quaking in your mud boots moments, you'd say, well, then that's not really, you know, that's a hobby. But when you're going for it, you quake. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't, as Keaton mentioned, we don't really know how to do things simply or to like take it easy. We kind of put it all in. As part of like what makes us and our, like as a partnership and a family, like our son is like that. Our dog is like that. Like we like to go. We don't sit still very easily.
Right.
Constantly moving.
Yeah.
People wonder how we have so much energy after everything we do. And I don't know either, but.
Well, just love it while you have it.
Exactly.
Because it may not last forever. And it's also, I just want to salute you guys because it's really exciting. I mean, we're in a rural community that has a whole agricultural roots to it. And it's also an aging community where the demographic's a lot older. People need more help to grow things. And to have you coming in with the fresh energy.
Yeah.
And you have a, you know, that you're connecting to the old ways, but you're bringing in fresh energy. That's a fabulous combination. So I'm so excited you're here.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to say in order to promote Peak Moon for our listeners today?
I do. I would need your help with this one.
Yeah.
But some of the herbs that we grew, epizote. Mm-hmm. And you can continue the list.
So we did, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, jucate. So it's a black mint. It's a Peruvian herb that's really common in very specific chicken dishes. We had Mexican tarragon. I did hibiscus. So you can grow, it's what you would get the flower for making tea, but you also eat the leaves. And it's used in a lot of different common like East African and also Southeast Asian soups and stews. And it's a sour leaf. But I mean, that's one of the things I think is our different cultures that we try to bring into the different foods that we grow.
Same with the squashes too, I'd say. But about those, the herbs though.
Yeah.
They were so unique. And they're so much fun to work with. By that, I mean cook with. And we want to share that with other people, not just by selling the starts, but we also realized that we grew way too much. And if anybody's listening to this and knows of these spices that we're talking about, please reach out to us because we will have tons of it.
I think that's one thing that we're looking at is we don't necessarily want to grow stuff to the end product. So we're not trying to grow stuff to sell tomatoes at the end, but herbs are one thing that we just think is a fun thing to be able to grow. And it's something we can do that isn't as time consuming or intensive. So,
and we don't want them to go to waste.
Yeah. So. but we'll be trying to sell some fresh herbs, not just the pots, for people next year. So because we have so many different types of basils and just so many different herbs, and that's just a fun one that we like to do.
We are going to focus a little bit more on recipes this year. So with what we're growing, probably via Facebook, but just announcing that this is what we're able to do with this really unusual spice. And share what those recipes are.
So. Well, I don't want to add anything to your plate, knowing all that you're carrying, but I can see a workshop in the future where you, especially with your culinary background and your love of cooking, in the off season, to be able to tell people all the exciting possibilities with these herbs that they might not have heard about. And can start dreaming about in October.
I mean, that's one of the things that I think is kind of hard with doing a business like this, is that people don't get to try what the thing is after, because we're not growing it to that fruition. So those people have to try it and then tell their friends. But if we can share recipes that we've done with some of the different foods, or have some of those herbs, which are easier to be able to try little bits of, rather than having to get like a whole big thing of tomatoes. They don't want to take up all that space in their own garden. It's a way for them to try them still.
Yeah, I think for a lot of us, herbs are a way to have our uniqueness, our own special touch in our garden, without having to try and feed an army.
Yeah, and they don't take up as much space. So you can just do a pot or a container on your deck if you don't have a large space, and you can still have herbs and not have to have or worry about like a whole tomato or cucumbers. The herbs are like an easy kind of entry into gardening.
And a
really amazing way to like completely change the flavors of your foods.
So cool. That was a great ad. Anything else that you want to mention to support Peak Moon?
Just come and find us. We have our Instagram and our Facebook page, so you can find us there. And you can always email us at peakmoon@gmail.com. We are here to answer questions. We love to work with the community, and we will be at the farmer's market once they start opening.
Starting in April? Is that the beginning?
I think it's the very first weekend of May. They haven't announced the opening day yet. But
And we do list, we try our best to list everything that we're selling.
So that's fantastic. Yeah. Well, I'll put all those links in the show episode notes for Embracing the Muse on Voice of Vashon. And I'm excited to start seeing what you're growing.
Yeah, and we'll eventually have a website.
When we have time.
When we have time, so.
You know, websites are beautiful, but they're second. I mean, we can find you on Facebook for the time being.
Yeah.
And so this year, hopefully you'll have a calm fall. You can start doing a website. This year you'll be growing.
Yes,
and
we will.
If someone's listening and they say there's something that we have to try.
Tell us.
Please tell us, because you know we try to find whatever's out there.
Fantastic.
The world of has the offer, which is a lot, but we haven't heard of everything. So
Well, really good. Well, like I said in the beginning, thank you so much. It's a beautiful day out, and thank you for coming and sharing what you're doing. And I just celebrate that it's such a resource for the island.
Thank you, Sally. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon 101.9 FM for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.